All right, Chrissy. We've had Tracy on, we had Dean on, and now we've got Sean Thompson on as well.
The love triangle.
Well, do you know what? He didn't start out with Tracy. He was with Blair first. They matched him up there, and he's ended up with Tracy. I don't think it was a bad thing. Dean ended up with Davina, and you know, we all saw how it worked out, but we also know it hasn't all been the truth. And Sean joins us now on the line. Sean, the lucky third this morning. What's going on?
How's it going, guys? Yeah, it seems like a lifetime ago, but I guess we all still live with that show stigma, I guess.
Yeah, well, since House Rules contestant Nicole Prince from a couple of years ago decided to come out and get a little compensation for misrepresentation, a lot of people are coming out of the woodwork going, well, hang on a second, I've been affected mentally, my life, my work, my relationships, all affected by either a negative portrayal of who I am or a misrepresentation in another way. Have you heard about what Nicole's doing?
I did have a brief look at the articles about it, and it doesn't surprise me, to be honest with you. Most of the reality show industry pretty much goes unregulated. And as far as I'm concerned, like, you are employed by the network during that time, so they have a duty of care, which they've pretty much broken or had little disregard for, which is in Australian legislation. It's pretty much like they've broken, like, workplace legislation.
What we had this morning from Tracy was that during the show, the support was okay. They had people in place for that. But since the show finished, there's been nothing, and she spent a lot of cash trying to look after herself mentally. Have you had that same experience?
I can't speak for Tracy. I can only speak off my experience.
Yeah, of course.
Look, during the show, it was kind of like I was coming to the psychologist, the in-house psychologist, about my concerns and the way I was getting bullied and the tactics that some of the staff were using. And it was kind of like, yes, she agreed with me, but there was nothing she could do.
Right.
So in theory, they're there for you, but there's, like, literally you sign your life away unless you just walk off the set. I think they think they can do or say whatever they want.
There is a potentially developing story with another reality show, and an ex-member of that show has gotten in touch saying that she's just waiting to hear from her lawyers whether she can talk about it or not. Her story is that she was locked in a makeup room because she threatened to walk off the set. So have you noticed any bullying tactics off screen?
Oh, yeah. I think the majority of the cast would have been subjected to some form or another of that kind of treatment.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is it's an all new environment for all of us. So we're kind of, you go with the flow because you don't know. And I know people would say, look, we signed up for it. But what they told me and my expectations and what actually happened were two completely different things. There should be some kind of clause or, you know, where they can pretty much tell you what you're in for.
Yeah.
You know, if your storyline or narratives for your characters portrayed in a negative light, I think it's a duty of care. They should alert you to that because we're pretty much all storyboarded before we even step foot on the set.
Yeah,
there
true.
You go. And hey, you look, don't think about the aftermath either.
Tracy also mentioned that locked out of the Married at First Sight Instagram, you couldn't post anywhere.
Yeah, they blocked us all at the start, before the start of the new season that just came on this year. So, like, it's kind of like they know what they're doing is wrong, so they're trying to mitigate the potential fallout by doing what they're doing, just blocking, ignoring. Yeah.
One of the most damaging things that I heard, and it's for people who are transitioning as well as those who aren't, but the rumours of gender reassignment for you, how in the hell do you combat that? If it's something you are about to do, it's a friggin' hard thing to do. And if it's something that you're not doing, what do you say to try and go, well, hang on, that's not true? Because people are just going to go, well, you would say that.
Look, again, you got to be very conscious of what you let into your life, like that kind of stuff. It's all just you know, antagonistic comments trying to raise a reaction out of you. So I try just to ignore that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think it's becoming more apparent that it's not just maths as well with this Nicole Prince from House Rules taking action. If a class action, and it looks like it could go that way, takes place, I mean, would you consider at least looking into it?
I'd have to weigh up my options and see where I'm at. Look, the whole show is amped up for drama. Most of the Married at First Sight franchises around the world only have like three or four couples because they want to actually focus on the relationships. Yeah. This one had, my season had 11. Yeah. So you can't really, first of all, you can't capture that much action in 60 minutes. So they're going to try and get rid of couples. They're going to try and get rid of a couple of couples in the first, you know, one or two commitment ceremonies. Yeah. The whole thing is, set up for drama. It's not set up for relationships. No, that's the first thing from their minds.
Well, you vowed to write a book to reveal all about the show. Yeah. So how's that tracking?
Yeah, I finished the book. It's going through with the lawyers at the moment, making sure I get everything cross my T's, dot my I's. Really exciting developments. I'm actually getting it narrated by Joe, the priest out of Gran Torino.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, he's going to narrate the book as well. So some exciting, exciting developments there. And, like, no whole bars, but it goes through my whole process. Bit of a transformation story as well. Like, experiencing that amount of abuse and traumatic experience in the short space of time as well from the reunion. I remember just copying, like, thousands of messages, abuse, phone calls, everything. And kind of, like, processing all that and coming out the other end.
Well, I think after all this, if everyone's successful with their compensation cases,
and they should
it's going to be a top seller, Sean.
We've said this previously, we love maths, but we hate it. And I think that's...
Yeah, I think it's a love-hate relationship with all those shows, I think. Yeah.
It's because now you guys are portrayed. Drama.
Before we let you go, Sean, are you all right? Are you okay?
Oh, I'm fine now. I'm actually in a public speaking course at the moment.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's one of my passions to get into these courses and just try and improve myself. Yeah, so it's all about moving forward. And part of the process was putting this book together. I reckon it saved my life, really, putting this book together. Because it
therapeutic.
It was kind of, it was that and it gave me meaning. I think the longest time after the show, it was like one of the first times in my life where like that feel of that actual felt and I could feel in my gut of helplessness. Yeah. And I was like, it's not a good feeling. It's not a good position to be in. So, it gave me meaning, gave me it's something to put my mind to, and I'm really proud of it.
Do you know what? I'm happy to hear that, mate, because I dare say there wouldn't be too many media outlets asking if you're all right mentally, but it's probably the most important question to ask.
And thank you for putting it all out on the table for us too, Sean.
Not a problem.
Thanks, mate, and best of luck with the book.
Thank you.